You may be seated. Well, we got a treat for you today. We have a couple of guests from the Grove Church, our little spinoff from Walnut Grove. Jamie Miller and Linda Mason are here. They're going to share with you some of the things that are going on worldwide in missions. Linda, as you have heard before, has been to Ukraine and Poland on two separate trips, and so I'm sure she's going to be touching on that too. Before they come up, I just want to just kind of update you a little bit on our trip over the last couple days. Several of us went to the Ark and the Creation Museum in Kentucky, and what a great time we had. We had about, I think we had close to 20 people between the people in our church and Gladys and Fred's family. We took up over half the bus. And had several other people from Upper Avery that went. And it just was a real blessing. We just all enjoyed it. If you haven't been to the Grove yet, Ark yet, let me encourage you to go. It was a wonderful experience. I went several years ago when it first opened up, and they have added so much stuff to it since then. And they're continuing to add. It's almost becoming like a theme park now, and it's just great. So they've got all kind of hands-on things. They have zoos. They're putting a zoo in there with all sorts of animals you've never seen before in your life, and just lots of great things. And you get to walk through a replica of the Ark itself, and you have no idea the size of this thing until you see it. If you can envision in your mind placing a boat on a football field, and knocking out goalposts on both ends because the football field's not big enough, that would give you an idea of how big it is. And it's three stories tall. So they were showed how they could fit all these animals in there and the feeding system and how they would remove the waste, all mechanically done. It was a great experience. And, of course, the Creation Museum has a different type of theme. Focuses on some of the other parts of the whole gambit from creation up until the time we are now, not just the flood. And it's got all sorts of full-size scale dinosaurs and things like that are just very interesting to look at. I was surprised myself at the one thing that really touched me this time, and I didn't even notice it before. And I don't know if anybody else who went saw this or noticed it. But the thing that really, I don't know, just touched my spirit was I was walking through. They were talking about the time of Adam and Eve and how the Garden of Eden might possibly have looked. I mean, they've got this lush area that's just beautiful. And then they got to the fall where they partook of the fruit at Satan's instigation. And then how they fell from that blissful state they were in, and immediately they began to die. And they had a scene of Adam and Eve where they had just been clothed with the skins of animals because, you know, they tried to make clothing out of leaves, and God took off their leaves, and he sacrificed these two animals for their clothing. And they had a scene of that where these two animals were laying on an altar, and Adam and Eve were standing beside it with shame and sadness in their face as they wore the skins of these animals that were on the altar. And I was trying to, I couldn't even recognize what kind of animals they are because they didn't have their skin on them. And I figured out after a while that they were sheep. And as I looked at that one particular scene, it made me realize the cost of our sin. And I looked at these poor two full-sized sheep that had been skinned, and they were laying on the altar, and Adam and Eve were weeping over the fact not only of their sin, I think, but in my mind, they were weeping over the cost of their sin. This would have been the first time they'd ever seen death, period. And not just death, but death of innocence. These sheep, they did nothing wrong, but yet they had to be killed to cover the sin of Adam and Eve. And it just really struck me. I don't know if anybody else saw that scene or it impacted them like that. But I felt sorry for the sheep. I felt sorry for Adam and Eve that they had lost such a great gig that they had in the Garden of Eden, and how from that point on there was going to be sin, death, destruction, permeating our culture right up until today. But that was the first indication of the pain that innocent animals and innocent people are going to have to go through because of the sin of Adam and Eve. So it impacted me. It made me realize I know Christ sacrificed his life for all of us to forgive us of our sins. But even having said that, sin costs something. And that's what I learned from looking at that scene. It still costs something. And it's something that we should be striving, just as the song Gary played, "Give of Your Best to the Master." We should be giving our best. We should be trying as best we can not to grieve the Lord. Not because we're going to go to hell from it. That's not the issue. We're saved from that. But it grieves the Lord, and it costs him something every time we sin. So that was a little scene. I wasn't expecting it. That just kind of flooded over me when I saw that scene, and I just wanted to share that one little part with you. So let's get on with what's going on today. Okay, Linda Mason and Jamie. Jamie is, correct me if I'm not saying this right, but in charge of missions at the Grove Church. She has spearheaded several mission trips already, and Linda has been on two of them. And she's got several that she's planning in the future. And we thought this would be a great opportunity for them to come and in their own way that they've devised to share with us what's going on, what has gone on. I think you're going to do it in an interview format, and it's exciting. I want you guys to get excited about what the possibilities are. I mean, if Linda can do these things, any of us can do these things. And yeah. So come on up, Jamie and Linda, and share. And you got a microphone on you, or okay, you're going to use that? You're going to do it from down there?
Yes.
Oops, excuse me.
Can you hear me? I'm loud, so get ready. Good morning, Jamie Miller, and I'll let Lynn introduce yourself again. But first of all, I just want to say I was telling Pastor when I walked in, every time I come in a new church, I just get really broken up and tenderhearted about how many people have been through these doors that are now in heaven with the Lord and met Jesus here, and that just makes me so excited. And feel really privileged to be in a place where people have worshiped for years and have met Jesus and trusted Jesus and then devoted their lives. So thank you so much for your time. If some of you saying she looks familiar, but she's clean, I am a restaurant at, I'm a waitress at Famous Louise's restaurant. So I may have given you coffee and I may have messed up your order. Forgive me and love me. So Linda Mason, do you want to say anything about yourself? You got to press
button. My name is Linda Mason. I have went on two missions. My first mission was in January. Do you want me to go ahead?
Yes, ma'am.
My first mission was in January to Ukraine. And God said to me, no, I told God I'm ready to do a mission. I told God I'm ready to do a mission. Don't ask me why I said that, because I have no idea what a mission looked like at that time. And the next Sunday, Jamie gets up on stage and says, you know what? I'm planning a mission to Ukraine. Who's in? I'm like, oh, I'm in. I had no passport, no funding, no nothing. But I was in. And you go ahead now. And that was my first mission at 65 years old. That was old to me to do this.
I wanted her to make her say her age. She did it, didn't I?
You did.
So, Linda, let's just talk about first, how did you see God work on this trip, both in people with whom you served and loved and people that you were there for, as well as yourself? Talk about that a minute.
In Ukraine?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Oh, okay. God was amazing in Ukraine. I didn't know I liked teenagers until I went there, because I really didn't. And so it was a teenage English camp. And for number one, Jamie was there. She took such good care of me because it was just her and I. And she just did. She just took good care of me. And God, these kids, they were so eager to learn about God. And most of them could speak okay English. Some of them could not, but most of them could speak to where you could understand them. But the kids were just so amazing how they wanted to learn more about God. They asked questions. They shared. They just loved on me. And this is what happened to me. I figured going on a mission was going to change my life. Well, it did not. I'm still the same person I was when I went, but it changed my heart. My heart became so open for these people and these kids, and I didn't know that that could happen. I didn't know I could just instantly love somebody that I didn't even know 2 days ago, but I did. I just instantly loved them, and I have adopted two of those girls that were there. I mean, not legally, but, you know, spiritually. And I have stayed in contact with these people, and even during this time, I do Bible studies with a woman that her husband and her are missionaries there. Once a week, we do a Bible study. They just tore at my heart. And then 2 weeks, we were home, and they were invaded, and I was devastated. I wouldn't stop crying for like 3 days. I just couldn't stop crying. Because I didn't know where they were. I didn't know what was happening to these people. That I knew that I had invested my time and my love into them. And they were kids, you know. But that was Ukraine. Ukraine taught me a whole bunch of love, how to love people that I don't know, how to continue to love people even after I don't see them anymore, how to give of myself. But it was all because of God. It wasn't me. I mean, I did a TikTok video, okay? I don't do TikTok. I don't even know what that is. But they got me to do a TikTok video. It was just amazing how God held me this whole time while I was in Ukraine. I mean, he just carried me along. Even though I was sweating, it was wintertime, and I was sweating like a dog, and my legs were hurting, and I was tired. But it didn't matter. I continued to go because God had me. He wanted me there, so he wasn't going to let me down or make me drop.
Linda, tell us about what was a day like? Like, what did you actually do on a day?
Okay. Woke up, had a team meeting in the morning, really early. That was hard. But team meeting, and that team meeting was very beneficial because you could tell people about what your classes was, who was needing more help, who was needing more prayer, even us needing more prayer in what we was doing. And then we'd go have breakfast, which was fun. And then we'd come back and we'd do Bible study. And in our Bible study, I had all girls. And I had this translator. She was so funny. She was so funny because I use my hands a lot. I can't right now because this microphone is in one hand. But I use my hands a lot, and my husband and Karen just walked in, so it distracted me. So anyways, I use my hands a lot, and she would translate, and she would use her hands, and they would all laugh. I'm like, what did you say? Linda, I just repeated what you said. Oh, okay. And so then we did English camp, which was boys and girls in my class, and I had one tall kid, first day, first time, walk up to me and said, who'd you vote for? I'm like, I don't know, I'm not going to tell you. And so anyways, it was funny how they wanted to know more about what we did than what they're doing, you know, in the United States. It's like, I didn't know that we had such privilege here. From other countries, I had no idea that that's how they thought. I just had no idea. And then we'd have lunch, and then we'd have conversation, conversation class in the afternoon, which was also fun. That would be my Bible study ladies, girls. We would have conversation with the same girls. And I got them to tell stories from just cards, pictures on cards. It was so amazing for that they didn't have cell phones in their hands like you see kids here, teenagers. They didn't have iPads. They could make a story out of three cards with pictures on them, like an ocean, a bottle of wine, and stairs, you know? And they would make a story out of that. And it was just amazing how their brains were able to articulate what they were saying in their story. And then we had dinner or supper, and then we came back. At some point, we had a rest in there. I'm not sure when that was. And then we came back and we played games. And at nighttime, we had music, a band, a little band. And my granddaughter's 18th birthday was while I was there. And they sang happy birthday to her live, both in English and both in Ukraine. And I just was sobbing. It was the most special day. And she was just so amazed. Nana, I can't believe you did that for me. Of course, you know. So anyways. Then I'd go to bed tuckered out. And I tell you what, these beds were not comfortable. I've never slept in a dorm, ever, okay? And the first night, I'm just going to share this because it was so funny. I am laying on choo-choo-choo with, you know, Rose. But it doesn't matter because God wants me here. I am okay. And Jamie's trying to get comfortable, and I just start busting out laughing. And she goes, why are you laughing? I go, because this is a new for me. There's six beds, bunk beds. And I'm in a bottom bunk bed in a dorm. I've never done this before. It was just, you know, amazing how God worked in my life and in hers.
Thank you. Have a seat.
Thank you.
I'm going to weave you in and out.
Okay.
So I work for International Messengers. And when I say work, I mean I serve. I'm the short-term ministry director. But I've not done this my whole life. I grew up not in a Christian home, and we were very religious. I grew up in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. My relatives came from Slovakia area to work in the mills, steel mills in Pittsburgh. We attended a Slavic Orthodox Catholic church. My masses were in Russian. So I learned religion, and I didn't know what I was saying because it was in Russian. So I knew about God. I knew there's a God, and I believe there was a God. But I didn't know really, I know Jesus was his son and the Trinity, but I hadn't trusted Jesus for my sin. And at a really young age, my parents split up and I went the wrong direction. I went seeking love in all the wrong places. And so I spent about 15, 16 years, excuse me, when I was 31, I met Christ for real. But the first part of my life, you know, I didn't know anything about any of this. God gave me good health and success, and I was in corporate America for 30 years making too much money, spending it stupid, acting stupid. And then I met Jesus. And I met Christ and at a little non-denominational church. And wow, you know, I didn't know that all the bad things I was doing, I knew they were bad, and I felt such shame. But like you said, I didn't know that Christ did that for me. And I didn't believe I was worthy for him to do that for me. And about a month after I met Christ, I got baptized. I'm going to dive right in, I said, right? And then they said, we're going on a trip to Poland. Do you want to go? I was like, what? And it was International Messengers, and they had come to our church and invited us. And I went on my first missions trip in 2003. And I went every year after. And so during my summers in corporate America, I would take my two-week vacation to go on a missions trip, you know. And so I'm going to tell you a little bit about that, but what I'm getting to is, you know, God started to tug at me about 8 years ago, and they said, we need you to come work for us full-time. And I was like, I'm not giving up that money. I'm being honest, people. I'm just being honest. I'm not walking away from my comfort, my security. I'm not walking away from my life, Lord. And Pastor, forgive me. Somewhere in the Bible it says, it was like bitter in my mouth when I tasted it. All my success and everything started to just be really ugly. And it wasn't anything going on. I was going on missions trips every year, and God just let me have all that I wanted, and it just was back. And so I said yes 2 years ago, and I went on staff full-time with them, with International Messenger. So next slide. What we do is we have about 2021, I couldn't correct, just love me anyway. We're still in all these countries. We've actually added Japan. We have 250 missionaries around the world. And what we do is we support them. Every day we have 1 hour of prayer on a Zoom call, and we pray for a couple countries a day. And we have 3 lists of prayers from these missionaries, and we pray. We have people that do staff care, so they call and check on all these missionaries once or twice a week. And then we send groups to go and serve for a week or two with these missionaries. Next slide. So it's hard to read. I'm going to make it pretty short if you're not a person that likes to read slides. You will be out of your comfort zone. I've done 18 trips now, and I can promise you each one I'm shaking like a leaf. It's faith stretching. You hang on to Christ by your fingernails most times. You know, you get up and you're like, I don't know if I can do this anymore. I don't know what I can do, but you're just gripping. And that's the times where my faith just shoots and rockets higher than it's ever been. And it's really encouraged me through my walk. You come home and your family's like, you're different. What's different about you? You come home and you revitalize your church. You come home and you revitalize your communities. You know why? Because you said yes and God stretched your heart. It really encourages our overseas missionaries. You know, most of our missionaries, they can't do this intense of a ministry that they do in 2 weeks is like years for them. It's like 5 years of ministry, because we take groups of people that they invite to a facility, and you're 24/7 with them for 7 days. So imagine, pastor, being able to be with your flock 24/7 for 1 week, and a group of people helping you do studies and talk, and it's relational evangelism. You know, we make it really easy for you to talk about Jesus. I don't have the gift to walk up to somebody on the street. I'm just being honest, love me, you know, to walk up and say, hey, do you know Jesus? But I can spend a week teaching them English. I don't do a good job of that. But I get to speak into their life, tell them about me, and I get to find out about them, and then I can talk about Jesus. Because once we're friends, and I've listened to you, and you've listened to me, I'm going to tell you about Jesus. And that's how Christ built me. And so if you're sitting here and your heart's stirring a little bit, yes, I'm going to ask you to go, so don't get uncomfortable. It's coming. Next slide. I'm going to show you some people. So you see the little gray-haired cute lady? That's Nancy. Nancy has been on probably 30 missions trips with us. Nancy can barely walk, and she goes every year to Poland. She's sitting with these teenagers playing apples to apples, okay? Let me tell you, don't get offended. I have gray hair, but I cover it. Gray hair with Bibles, you are respected for your wisdom and life experience around the world like you are not here. When you go to these countries, these kids will listen to you because they are taught that you have experience and wisdom, and you can speak into their lives about Jesus in a way that younger people can't. Okay? Hang with me. Next slide. This is Lester Popek. I met Lester in 2014 at a camp in Poland. Lester's in a wheelchair. You can't see it. Lester speaks 6 languages. He has 3 or 4 engineering degrees. He can't walk. He came to 4 or 5 camps. He would sit in that Bible study, y'all, and he would sit in our classes, and he never trusted Jesus, but he came every year. And his father would bring him, who also was not a believer in Jesus. And the most amazing thing is, last year, Lester got baptized. You know, and I'm just reminded that it's in God's time, because I remember thinking, I remember praying over this kid, like, Lord, he's been here every year. And now I'm going to see Lester in heaven. Yeah? Next slide. This is a Bible study in Egypt. We have about 9 summer camps coming up next summer in Egypt. These women, of course, men and women are separated. That's the culture. And you see some Caucasian women in there. Those are our teams that went this past summer to serve. And this was in the winter camp, actually, which is why they're actually in coats. These women can't get enough of the word. People who have come to Christ in Egypt and in Lebanon, where we are, they are starving for discipleship because they just don't get it. There's just not big churches. There's not even little churches. And so they flock in so they can get fed for a week or two by our teams. And like I said, all you have to do is be a follower of Jesus and speak English, and they want to know you and they want to know about you. Next slide. We have camps in Uganda for children. We have a village there. These are refugees from the Sudan War. Their parents are either MIA or just left them. Look at those cool silo things. There's a group in Iowa, where my main office is, and they knew a guy who owned a company who makes these. And gosh, golly darn it, he donated them and had them shipped over there, and that's where they live, in the village. We have a school there and a church. They started a men's purity training there to try, you know, to get these men to understand about sexual purity and marriage and things like that. And we do a lot of kids' work in Uganda. Next slide. Okay, this is Hungary. These are a bunch of Hungarian youth. Every single one of those girls came to Christ at one of our camps within a period of 4 years. These are these camps, y'all, where, like, I think I used to go and expect, like, to see the fruit right then. You know, God's like, just do what I tell you. Love them like Jesus. Do a Bible study with them, and I'll do my thing. And every one of these girls now has trusted Christ, and most of them are leading their own youth Bible group in Hungary. Next slide. Ukraine! Okay, so this is Sonia, the female, and Salome. Sonia went to university with Salome. Salome is from Nigeria. He's a family of 12. He's the firstborn Muslim boy. Well, if you don't know, that's a big culture thing for them. He's important in the family. He came to our camp this past January. He came to a Christian camp, and we don't lie about it. We don't hook him in. We say, we're going to teach you English, but we're going to talk about Jesus. They know. He came. The first night I was sitting next to him, and this was actually, Linda was leading a game. She's up front just having a ball, and she asked for volunteers to come forward, and he leaned over to me, and he said, I can't go because I'm not a Christian. I said, you can go. I said, get up there. And he went up and played a game. A couple days later, he came up to me. He was in my English class. Now, he spoke three languages, but I was teaching him grammar. I promise you, I do not teach grammar. We have fun and play games. But he came up to me and said, I have a question for you. And I'm thinking, please don't ask me about present perfect tense, because I don't know. And he said, why is everybody so kind here? And I'm like, ding, 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 opportunity to talk about Jesus. So I got to tell him, I said, it's because we have Christ in us. You know, I don't know where his heart was when we left that camp, and I'm sure since the war started, he's had to go back to Nigeria. But I do believe that I'll see him in heaven one day. I do believe that, and I'm prayerful of that. Sonia, she met Jesus at a youth camp years and years ago, and she's now in Romania.
Because she is one of the Ukrainian girls that I have adopted in my heart. And I hope you'll meet, because I'm hoping she can come here. Mm-hmm. And she is doing Bible studies in Romania, and she went back home. I think she's still in Ukraine right now for a little while. But they are just full of such love. It's just amazing to me. And Salomon, he was amazing. And it was like his family in Africa was high up in whatever. I don't know.
The tribal. His father was a tribal leader.
Yes. And so he talked about if he became a Christian, they would kill him instantly when he went home. And so he was just walking this fence, you know, and it was... But he participated in everything, and he loved everything, and you always saw a smile on his face. Anyways, go ahead.
Next slide. I'm almost done hanging, guys. This was my girls' Bible study in Ukraine. Right next to me, looking silly, looking down to my left, is a blonde girl, Talia. She didn't say two words in the whole Bible study, but every once in a while she'd start crying. You know, and she's very shy, and I think she was a little afraid of me, which I get. And so I was really tiptoeing around that. And she didn't ask any questions, but she was really involved. You could see she wanted to learn. A week after camp, I got an email. She had stood up in front of her mother's Slavic Orthodox church and professed that she trusted Jesus. And I was like, that's a miracle. I mean, she couldn't say two words, And she stood up in front of that church, which I can promise you, growing up in that church, you don't stand up and say anything, you know. And she professed Christ. And so, and that was 2 weeks before the war. So God had a plan. Next slide. This is our past Poland camp this summer. We did have a team of 9 from the Grove go. And this is our children's program there that they ran. And there were a handful of Ukrainians there. And it was Ukrainians that had been sheltered by a church and then had been invited by the Polish people. Let me break away and tell you just in around Ukraine in general, from what we hear from our missionaries, we have 29 missionaries who were in Ukraine. There are 5 of them still there, and most of them are because they're pastoring their church. And they've stayed to do that, and they're packing full those churches. You can't stand in there on Sundays. But the people who have fled for various reasons, they are at the border doing ministry. They are bringing food and water, but most importantly, they're starting up church groups and doing literally church in vans at the border. I love Romans 8:28. You know, God works everything for the good of those he loves, because the churches in Hungary and Poland especially have been so revitalized by this purpose. And they were kind of dead. They were kind of dead churches, and now there's this hot purpose that they're having to go and work with these Ukrainians and be there and minister to them. And I know the food and water is important, but what they're doing, and like John 4 and John 6, where Jesus says, you know, drink of this water, you'll never be thirsty again. I give you food and you won't be hungry again. They're giving them the word of God. So God is working in a mighty way. Next slide. Okay, so next summer, we've got trips in all of these places. Okay, primarily English camps. Your day will be doing a Bible study in English. You have a translator there because we want to make really sure that they understand that what we're translating. And you're doing your Bible studies. In the afternoon, you'll teach an English class. Don't panic, like I said. We have a lot of retired teachers who have written curriculums. When they get to the camp, we give them a little English test. And what it does is it determines what level their English is, so we can put them in a place where they're challenged but comfortable in their classes. My husband went this past summer. I've been doing this for quite some time, and he said, no, 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 no. This summer, he finally said yes after 12 years. He was terrified of teaching English. We were placing our people in our English classes, and they said, who's going to teach advanced? And he raised his hand, and I'm like, dude, you can't even spell. He taught advanced English, and you know what they did? They talked about faith, they talked about marriage, they talked about parenting. There wasn't a lick of English taught, but believe me, we will get you to do that. Next slide. We have English camps, we have VBS, we have youth sport camps. Woo! Those are intense. I've been to one, and they like to play a lot of soccer over there, you know what I mean? I stood on the sideline, I refereed, even though I've never played soccer in my life. Discipleship. Those of you here with gray hair and Bibles, there are hungry, hungry people out there who need to be deepened in their walk. We have a marriage and family camp in Egypt, if you're a married couple and you can go together. Last summer, we had 11 couples go, and these are couples that are mostly Christian, but some Muslims, and this Muslim man came up to the leader, our pastor who goes, and he said, are the women learning what I'm learning about roles of marriage? And he said, yeah, you know, they have their own group. He said, because there'll be no living with her if she finds out what my responsibilities are in this marriage. You know, it's intense for them. We have translator camps, and these are people in the Middle East who want to become translators, and so they want to practice speaking English. But it's an opportunity. You just talk. If you can speak English, you're qualified. And you talk to them. Next slide. I think that might be it. So I'm going to close real quick, but, you know, just hearing, talking about what you said, there's a sacrifice for sin. And then in your beautiful playing that almost made me cry, when the song talked about giving your best. One of my favorite stories is in the end of 2 Samuel, and David has to go by the threshing floor to build the altar and to stop the plague. And he goes to Ananiah and Uriah. I'm sorry, Pastor, I'm so bad. Guy with an A name. And he goes to him and he said, you know, I want to buy your threshing floor. And the guy says, no, King David, I want to give it to you. And David says, I will not sacrifice to the Lord that would cost me nothing. Going on these trips, it's costly. And it's not about the money. It costs you something. It's hard. It stretches you. But it is such a sweet sacrifice going up to heaven to the Lord. So if your heart's feeling stirred, I'll be around. I have some information. We will help you get there. We will figure it out. But I would love to send a team from this church to go and do this. So I'm going to say a prayer. Father, thanks for this flock, this church, Lord, that's been here, and just how you've kept it and held it, Father. And I pray that you would continue to just grow this church in faith, Lord, in this community. Pray that you would raise up leaders here, future leaders, and just bring people here to be saved and trust you, Lord. God, I pray for missionaries around the world. Father, strengthen them in their roles. Just encourage them, Lord, that they may not see the fruit right away, but you are working. Father, I pray that you would continue to build teams from this country to send, Lord. I pray that you would provide for that in mighty ways. Thank you for the role that you've given all of us in your kingdom, Lord, and I pray we embrace it in grace and truth. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Jamie. Thank you, Linda. If you have an interest in anything she's talked about, and there's a wide variety of things she's talking about doing, see Jamie or see Linda. If you don't get a chance to talk to them today, they go to the Grove, and we can get you in touch with them. But that's exciting. All the different things you can do. There's so many different things for. You don't have to, you know, like you said, necessarily be an evangelist or anything. There's several ways of serving that are desperately needed in these places. So see them. Thank you for sharing. We're going to have our closing hymn now, which is number 55, When the Roll is Called Up Yonder.